Welcome to Refirement Life, the podcast for anyone navigating life transitions or planning to make life transitions to ensure your next years are your best years. Listen in for insightful, generous, and sometimes humorous conversation. It's time to get fired up with Christine Zamuda and Muge Wood, your hosts for this latest episode of Refirement Life.
And welcome to Refirement Life. This is episode 47, and we're going to talk about brain rules for aging well. I'm with my ever dynamic co-host, Muge Wood. Muge, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic. And to be honest, Christine, I am doing even better because I'm on the podcast with you. So I am energized. I got in a good Zumba class last night. So I am experiencing the aftermath of the bit of the energy and glow that comes with that. So we'll keep it going.
Yeah, that is evident. I feel the charge. I got a lot of sleep last night too, so I think this is actually going to be a really good session for our listeners. So first, we'll start with reflections from the week. While we don't usually dive into historical events, we can't help but mention the Trump assassination and the attempt on former President Trump's life. A big moment for our country, a big opportunity for our country, I think, to come together in a more unified way. What are your thoughts, Muge?
I think regardless of political affiliation, it is hard not to think about, reflect about it, and feel really sad because it felt like an assault on American people at large, and definitely continue to feel extremely sad for everyone impacted by it who are there. I think everybody should have the right to exercise their beliefs lawfully, and that was an assault on all of that. So it really makes us think how to prevent it, what it means going forward. It has been a moment of reckoning, I think, for all of us. And it was a bit of a wake-up call, too, in terms of how extreme beliefs leading to violence can really have a huge impact on our society, and that is not okay.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, lives lost, people wounded, just exercising their right to learn and support their, you know, political views. And that's, you know, one of the most important liberties we have as Americans is freedom to be safe, freedom to be share your thoughts and make this country better. So I think we're going to learn a lot, and hopefully we will see some of the political rhetoric tuned down on both sides of the political parties and use this and kind of carry it with us as a way to do better as Americans and make sure that we're representing this wonderful country and, an incredible place to live and thrive.
Absolutely. And I like listening to all sides. I try anyway. I think regardless of political affiliation, J.D. Vance's life story, I felt was uplifting for the very reason that being able to rise above our circumstances that are thrown our way beyond our control is really exhilarating and inspiring. And being in a country where we can do that is, I think, gives us a lot of hope. No matter how hard it is possible. That is a good message and opportunity for us to think about seize for whatever circumstances we are dealing with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's so, I think, refreshing to see some youth on the ticket, right? He's 39. He'll probably be the youngest VP if elected. The two likely presidential candidates, I should say, will be the oldest to ever hold office. So quite a dichotomy there in terms of age, experience, all of that. It's interesting that we're talking about brain rules for aging well with those two candidates potentially being our choices. And wow, I mean, think about it. The Biden, 81, Trump, 79, both are older than color TV and hula hoops.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I think I am always energized by individuals in any discipline who are going and living fully. And this is yet another example. Now, there's a lot at stake in this one. So definitely wanting the very best for our country here. But it is inspiring. And I think it will be very interesting to see how it continues to unfold up until elections and beyond. The only wish, though, is peaceful expression of ideology, right? That is that's going to be very fundamental for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So going into our topic, maintaining brain health, we're going to talk about navigating the aging aspects of the brain, the feeling aspects of the brain, and the thinking aspects of the brain. There's a couple stats to share, which are interesting. First, this is probably not as well known. This wasn't known to me before I started digging in. The human brain shrinks with age. And they say by the time a person reaches 60 years old, the brain may have lost about 0.5% or half a percentage point of its volume each year. And if you think about that, by age 90, your brain volume can be approximately 10 to 15% smaller than it was in young adulthood.
That's pretty scary. I think any kind of shrinkage is concerning. This one sounds substantial. I am no medical expert. That does not sound good. Having said that, I am holding out a little bit of hope that maybe even there's shrinkage, there's enough brain capacity at large that can be activated to give us the cognitive skills for us to enjoy life into older, you know, next and second chapter. I think I also read, though, that there is untapped capacity of the brain. You know, there is, much portions of it that may not be activated. So I think part of our conversation, we'll also talk about how reactivation can be possible to maintain our cognitive ability is despite the shrinkage. But it is scary. It is scary. The other thing that comes to mind when we are talking about this topic is the mind-body connection, because we are talking about the brain. But when the brain health declines, it has undisputed impact on the physical aspects. So it's just incredibly connected, both of them.
Definitely. Definitely. And you mentioned the ability to like regenerate and the plasticity of our brain. And it's a muscle, it's a computer. You know, you can think about your brain as a big file system, right? That sometimes that information's right there. Sometimes you have to think harder to awaken a memory, a piece of information that you need. But the brain's total neuron count is 86 billion.
Wow. 86 billion.
That's amazing, right?
That is amazing.
And they say the average adult is activating approximately 700 to 1,000 new neurons each day. So you could really use that as a muscle, be proactive. We're going to talk about some of the things that we can do. But wow, it can be ever learning, ever growing. And some of the decline, you could either maintain or reverse with some proactive steps around, you know, diet, exercise, learning, and we're going to talk about some of those things.
That's right. So it is interesting, Christine. I was also reading another article on longevity and the study on blue zones. We talked about that in one of our prior episodes. And the interesting point made in there was, individuals living in these blue zones, they are not taking superfoods, supplements, tracking their steps. It's just their way of life to connect with the community, eat fish, fruit, and vegetables as way of, life, not necessarily a health, roadmap. So I guess that all goes to say the fundamentals of what goes into maintaining our health, brain and body, are perhaps a little boring, which comes down to exercise, sleep, nutrition, and social connection. But yet, that is the recipe. So how can we incorporate that into our daily lives in ways that bring meaning to us? And therefore, it is less of an effort, more of a, routine habit that we embrace and enjoy.
Exactly. Exactly. And some of that is too, just awareness, right? Maybe we don't live in a fishing village where fresh fish is available.
That would be right? Nice.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice. And actually, I love to fish. But anyway, some of the foods to eat, I mean, the best foods are those that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids and antioxidants and whole grains. So if you look at the list, you have salmon, mackerel, chia seeds, flax seeds. Chia seeds and flax seeds, they just don't sound like that exciting, right? Those are things that are rich in omega fatty acids. On the antioxidant side, it's blueberries, dark chocolate, turmeric, and broccoli. Those I think are easier just to incorporate in the everyday, especially the chocolate. For me,
I was just thinking of that. So as you are sharing that list, some things on the list to me are more appealing than others. So mm-hmm. chocolate, very high. Broccoli may need to be disguised a bit for me. But it's encouraging that hopefully there is something on the list for many of us that balance the joy with the nutrition. And I love the berries. Now we can also think about combining these things, like chocolate covered cherries, chocolate covered not broccoli maybe, but how can we balance these things out? I think the other thing I try to remind myself is, nutritionists that we speak with is, this is not about 100% perfection. Mm-hmm. So if you get 80% right, or even less, but maintain consistency over time, that can still pay dividends.
That's right. That's right. Agree. Whole grains. Whole grains is another one. So oats, sure, many of our listeners may have had that one-on-one with their doctor who said, hey, maybe you should be eating Cheerios more or oatmeal to reduce your cholesterol. Quinoa is also a big source of whole grains. And quinoa is one of those things, I don't know about you, Muge, but I love to order it out. I've never really made it well at home. Is there some sort of magic recipe or
quinoa?
Yeah, quinoa.
Yeah.
Is it quinoa or I call it quinoa.
Whatever you say, Christine, I'm going to go with. With that particular whole grain, I make it, so to speak, but when I am able, which is not very much, because again, this is not as bad as broccoli for me, but it's not also something I gravitate to. I sprinkle it on salads. Mm-hmm. Think of a Mediterranean salad.
Right.
And it is not extremely flavorful in and of itself, but mm-hmm. when it's mixed with salad, I think it's an excellent addition that brings some substance to it. And I think it certainly beats eating tortilla bread or something like that, but you still get a more filling, appetite.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There's a place that I go that has a great quinoa salad.
Yes. There you
which
go.
I love with salmon that I get all the time, but I'm going to try it at home.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to make it and, you know, put it away in the refrigerator and sprinkle it on things. It can also make a good breakfast when you add some dried fruits and nuts to it and a little bit of milk. So, I mean, it's a good option. But then again, you have to have a lot of intention to do this. It certainly doesn't come natural.
Yeah. Carve out some time. Plan your meals. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. That's not going to happen.
That's why I'm good with the blueberries. Take them out of the pack. Eat them with like a little bit of egg bites. That's my favorite. That's my favorite breakfast.
Yes. And then I will also recommend sweet blackberries from Carolina Organic blueberries. It has a little bit of a hint of sweetness to it. So I eat those a lot. And my husband is like, did you finish them again? I am like, yes. I thought I'm doing something good for myself. So bring on the blackberries, especially when they have a hint of sweetness. I just feel like it makes it even a bit better.
Totally. So the next thing to touch upon is getting adequate sleep. And this one, I think, can become tougher with age. Speaking to some of my friends who are waking up in the middle of the night, can't get back to sleep. That could be related to job stress. That could be related to, you know, symptoms of menopause. And it could just be related also to just some bad habits that, you know, some of us have gotten into, where you pull your phone over, look at your phone in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, oh, your circadian rhythm's off and you're awake. So one stat I think that's interesting is a study published in the journal Sleep found that people who consistently get less than 6 hours of sleep per night have a 30% higher risk of developing dementia. That's scary.
That is really scary. And I think the importance of sleep, unfortunately, has been lost on me in my younger days. I'm like, yeah, I can crank through this. I'm doing great. 4 or 5 hours of sleep. This is awesome. I'm ultra productive. Keep it going. So the importance of it, though, is just incredible, because the healing aspect of it for the body, the recovery of memory, retention capability. And I'll say every time, or not every time, but most times I go to doctor for checkup, the question is, how do you sleep? Because it is, you know, body is number one immunity boost naturally. And it's also elusive. I think in today's you know, world of stress, demands on our time, digital things coming at us, but yet the restorative aspect of sleep is just incredible. And the good news is, again, it doesn't cost anything per se. So I like that one. But it's just being mindful of it is so key. So key. Right. And, you know, again, I think it goes back to the things that are good for us. We feel it, right? When we are sleep deprived, no matter how much caffeine we consume, we are just not feeling great. You know, our response to stress is compromised. Then it can easily create that negative spiral of less sleep, more stress, therefore less sleep situation. So trying to interrupt that cycle after eating some blackberries and chocolate would be pretty awesome. But yeah, importance of sleep, we probably don't fully appreciate that at all.
Yeah. And I think the important part that you just mentioned is you can feel it. So if you are feeling a little bit sluggish, if you are feeling like I'm not as sharp as I usually am, thinking about those couple of areas, sleep going there first. And it's okay to nap. It's okay to nap if it's a nap. I debate with my husband, is it a nap or is it a sleep? Because he can nap like a champ. He can nap for 3-4 hours. I was like, I think that's almost a sleep. It's not a nap.
That is right. That is a pretty extended duration of a nap.
It is.
So, you know, there's always this thing we read about, oh, you don't let your nap exceed 20, 30 minutes, which is hard to do. Someone also has to wake you up. Unless there's another external factor interrupting your nap, it's easy for that to turn into a couple hours of a snooze time, which in turn probably will interrupt your nighttime sleep. So, but the so-called power naps are pretty great.
Yeah. Power naps. Yeah. Don't sleep on the power nap, but sleep on the power nap. You know what I mean? There's a famous, I guess, best practice that Einstein used to use. He used to power nap every day, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And look at all he accomplished, right? Recharging his brain and getting back to work.
Yeah, that's right. The whole, I guess, refresh and cleansing aspect of it is powerful, which also reminded me of an amazing business that started out of Houston by an ex-corporate person. It's called Nap Bar, and it's a like a mobile nap station that can be placed in office buildings and corporations for people to take power naps.
Wow.
So you can feel your best, which is quite a culture shift for America, corporate America. But I think, you know, there is openness and appreciation towards that. Leader I appreciate the views of on this is Arianna Huffington. She talks a lot about the restorative power of sleep. She has launched a Thrive app that speaks to how you can reset your brain, your nerve system, and whatever you do, do not skimp on sleep in exchange of writing a few more emails or going to another social function. I know it's easier said than done. Having said that, I don't know how you feel about this, Christine, but I do feel like as I age, I appreciate sleep more. So I am prioritizing it easier compared to my younger days in college or early career. So there's some positive correlation there. So as my brain may be shrinking, since I am prioritizing sleep a little bit more, maybe I'm going to be able to offset that.
I agree. I think also the awareness is there about how important sleep is. And maybe we're sharing some interesting, you know, thought-provoking stats today that to keep that awareness top of mind. Another one that people should know, this one says, studies have shown that sleep deprivation can reduce the brain's ability to form new memories by up to 40%. So think about that. Like, you just don't have the capacity to even soak in anything. And wow, you know,
you are tapped out.
Yeah. Tapped out. Yep. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, other things to talk about are the feeling brain, emotions, and aging. So relationships, stress, happiness, and even gullibility are influenced by changes in our brain's emotional centers. Now, we've talked in previous podcasts about the importance of social connections, the importance of managing stress and doing things that create this feeling of mindfulness, whether it's actual meditation or doing meditative things like walking in nature, painting, things that take your mind away. What we haven't talked about is this piece about staying skeptical. What I learned in the research is as we age, we may become more trusting and potentially gullible. So staying informed, questioning sources of information, maintaining critical thinking skills to avoid misinformation is important. Studies show that the executive function of the brain, which includes decision-making, problem-solving, declines at a rate of 1% to 2% per year starting at the age of 60. So we're not there yet. And again, this awareness is, you know, stay skeptical. And, you know, all of these strategies that we're talking about, diet, exercise, can help prevent some of this decline.
That's right. I think it is. It's good to know to talk about these statistics. It's also frightening, right? We don't want these things to happen, but we may not have a say in it. So it's the natural progression of life. I think, in addition to all the things we said, staying skeptical and staying curious to ask questions, to also learn new things, can also help I think, maintain our health, because it's almost like fight back in a way, in healthy ways, to activate our body as mind and brain and body, so that things are not stagnant and declining. Because this notion of use it or lose it, I think it holds very true. And we feel the effects of that as we age. And I will throw one more thing in there, because I'm reading a lot about just in general healthy aging, is the consumption of alcohol. As we age, how our bodies, I read, respond to alcohol changes. So we are not exactly imagining when we say, oh, I can't drink as much anymore. The effect of one margarita on our body at the age of 60, let's say, is far different from the effect of it when we had at 25. So it isn't so.
I like my margaritas, Mugay.
I know. Well, I'm just saying, Christine, you may need to go easy on them. So effect of one margarita at the age of 60, let's say, is equivalent to like two or three. Because of how our bodies are metabolizing, responding to it. So moderate and limited consumption of alcohol is also recommended as we age. That's unfortunate, but that's in there in the mix of things we could be doing to help our overall well-being as well as brain health, I'm sorry to say.
No, good point. Good point. I'm glad you're bringing that up before I go to the beach this weekend.
Yes, I am just saying, watch your margarita consumption or the beverage of your choice. So I will check up on you upon return. We will conduct a Sudoku test. If there has been any change on cognitive abilities, I think it may improve.
Yeah, that was a good lead in to actually what the last area is, and that's the thinking brain. And it does suggest, and we've heard this before, engaging in activities that challenge your brain, whether it is the crossword puzzle, playing musical instruments, any of those New York Times games like Wordle. What's your favorite, Mugay, these days? Do you have one that you just do very consistently?
I do. And it's a little embarrassing, because it's not exactly intellectually stimulating, but it gives me great joy and it still exercises something. And that is the crossword puzzles in the People magazine. Because this is no New York Times crossword puzzle, but I get great satisfaction in knowing all these celebrity factoids and completing the crossword puzzle with no help from the internet or an external factor. So that's my little weekly pleasure that I do. Now, in addition to that, what I am energized by, which I haven't had quite time to do so, but I've looked into it, is these kind of ongoing adult education classes that universities hold on topics of interest. For me, it's anthropology. I'm always amazed at that. And I look at classes offered for adults. They are more like lectures. You are not taking an exam, but you are learning. You are coming together with others who have interest in a similar topic. And you're on college campus, right? It's vibrant. It is energy. And you're not worried about passing or failing or even finding a job after taking this class. But you're learning. So, I find those types of things to be uplifting, invigorating, and keeping us curious.
That's awesome. And I'm pretty sure that those kind of classes are at a discounted rate too, right? Aren't they for people 50 or older or 55 or older?
Yeah, I love those discounts. I'm like, bring them on. Whatever you're offering, I'll admit to my age readily. I want the discount.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, after watching Wimbledon, I was really inspired by Jasmine Pollini, an Italian.
Yes.
I just love the way that she competed and her energy and her positivity. And I'm Italian by, nationality, so it just fired me up. And which in turn said, why aren't I continuing with my Italian lessons? So I rallied up, and I have a 7-day streak now on Duolingo, just brushing back up on that. And that is also a great way to just challenge your brain. So that's just been super fun, super fun.
Which you will have to put into practice during a trip to Italy, yes, in the near future.
Yes.
So that you can continue to build on those skills. But that's true. I mean, little things make a difference. Like mm-hmm. most days I ask Alexa, what's the SAT word of the day? I'm like, okay, let me see what I can learn here. Some interesting word that is not part of daily vocabulary. So it's just a bit of stimulation and a challenge to the brain and to the body are a very good thing.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a good one. I haven't done that. My husband does joke of the day, but maybe uh-oh, I'll encourage him to do the SAT of the day.
I have a whole circuit that I do with Alexa. It starts with news of the day, joke of the day, SAT word of the day, slang word of the day, and I recap it with wellness tip of the day. It's quite a circuit. Yeah. And then in 7 minutes, I'm smarter than I was when I started the exercise. Now, only if I could remember those things. That's a whole other thing.
Maybe you should start the next day with Alexa, quiz me from what you taught me yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That will be a whole other level. Yes, that's right.
Well, I think we are about to wrap up. I did pull some information from a book called The Brain Rules for Aging Well by John Medina. So we will include that as a link for folks who want to learn more. Hopefully some of the things we shared today will just keep ways that you can, you know, keep aging well, keep your brain in tip-top shape. Some of the things that you could do are just even micro changes, right? You don't have to do all of the things we talked about, but maybe it's introducing one superfood a week. Maybe it's thinking about what you want to learn. Maybe it's going to the gym and really being thoughtful about the way your body works and how exercise brings more oxygen to your brain. And thinking also just about the ways that you can activate new capacity and sleep. Make sure that you're in a regular sleep routine. That's probably job number one, the most important of all we talked about today.
Yeah, that's right. And the effect of that to give us motivation, energy to attend to all other parts of our life. So true. I think I may have to go take a nap now.
A nap at 9:54. Oh, that's exactly Eastern. Right. Your workday hasn't even started on your side.
A nap at 8:54 Central Time Zone. That's a tough one, but let me consider it.
Oh, Mugay, it's always so great to see you. Thanks so much for partnering with me on this. It's always a joy. And for our listeners, we look forward to seeing you next time.
Till the next time.
Thank you for listening. Our hope is to spark a little joy, inspire, and educate our listeners in ways to live an even more meaningful life. If you have reactions to share from what you've heard, please visit our website, refirement.life, to leave a voice message. You may even be featured in a future episode. To keep in touch, subscribe to our podcast, Refirement Life, using the podcast player of your choice. Always remember, you are never too old to set a new goal or to dream a new dream. Thanks again for joining us on this episode. Until next time.